अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद्भिज ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। समवेत भक्त बृंद की जय। उपाय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु नारायण, ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपाद। नमः विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम। Thank you all for coming to this Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita. I have a PowerPoint presentation up there. Shashank Prabhu is going to navigate. And I couldn't really figure out what today's topic is in terms of a title. So I just called it the Sunday feast lecture. That's the title. Jor Se Bolo. Can you hear me now? Can I hear you? Is this better? My voice is not very strong, so I'll try. So, let's go to the next slide. Hopefully you can see all of this. So what is this? Remember from science class? The periodic table. That's good. There are elements there, hydrogen, sodium, potassium. You might not have seen this in a while, some of you. Helium on the right side. There is the lanthanides and the actinides. The Bhaktivedanta Academy folks will know, the students. So this is the periodic table, and it represents our current understanding of matter in all of existence, at least as measured on Earth. This is what we think is what matter is made of. This basically sums up all of matter. Right? And then the next slide is forms of energy. So that was a chemistry class for today, and this is the physics class. Matter is associated with energy. Matter possesses energy. What is this nebulous thing called energy? It is the capacity to do work or capacity to do something. To do any sort of tangible work, energy has to be transferred. So there are different types of energies listed there. There's kinetic energy, which is associated with motion. There is electrical energy, associated with the potential of electrons in the material. There is, you can read for yourself, chemical energy. You burn wood, release the energy. Any chemical reaction is electrons rearranging themselves and changing their energies, basically. So matter and energy is all we can perceive, measure, and understand with our senses. This is what the world is made of. This is what our bodies are made of. This is what our cars and everything else in existence is made of. So the scientists or the field of science have classifications like the periodic table, putting elements in their place according to their natures, their chemical reactivity, or the types of energies. There are classifications of the different types of energies and how they function. So next slide, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition also has a classification of everything that there is in existence. So I thought that I would share with you what that classification is. And this is all based on the Bhagavad Gita, in keeping with the spirit of today's Sunday feast lecture. So let's look at the classification in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. The first thing is that there is Krishna, which the periodic table and the energy classifications miss. And there is Krishna's energies or potencies. Interestingly enough, the material nature or material world also is a type of energy from the Gaudiya Vaishnava point of view. The Sanskrit word for that is Shakti. Shakti, you know, you need Shakti to do anything. So Shakti is the terminology used, and this is all there is in existence, and there is nothing else. There is Krishna or Krishna's energies. In fact, the very definition of Krishna, sorry to use the word definition, but the definition of Krishna is he who possesses all energies. This is how we understand him. And the definition of energies is they who serve Krishna and who are possessed by Krishna, who are possessions of Krishna. These energies have no independent existence of Krishna. They cannot exist by themselves. So all of existence is either Krishna or Krishna's energies. And there is only one thing that's going on, that's service of Krishna or service of Krishna's energies. It's the only thing that's going on in existence. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnava picture. So let's look into more depth into these classifications. Broadly speaking, Krishna's energies are of three types. Maya, and the cross there shows that Maya is not conscious, it's not alive. And this Maya is what the periodic table and the energy is about. You know, that the scientists study, they study Maya, the material nature, which is constituted of Maya Shakti. These atoms and everything else are energies of Krishna. And they have a specific term, and that's called Maya. There are two other types of energies. There is the Swarup Shakti. Swarupa means, in Sanskrit, means the internal or inherent or one's own. That's what it means. Swarupa Shakti means Krishna's internal potency or internal energy. I'll explain what that is as we go on. So that's another type, and that's conscious. It's alive. It's not like dead matter. Hydrogen is not alive. Nitrogen is not alive. Electrostatic energy or electrical energy or any kinetic energy, none of that is alive. But these energies, the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, although the term Shakti is used, it's conscious. And then there is the Tatastha Shakti. This Tatastha, Prabhupada translates it as marginal energy or marginal potency. The reason it's called Tatastha is because it neither belongs to Maya, which is dead matter, nor belongs to Krishna Swarup Shakti. It's in between. So this is the Tatastha Shakti, and the tick marks there indicate that Tatastha is also conscious. So these are the three types of, broadly speaking. Of course, Krishna has infinite energies, but they can be classified into these three broad categories. Let's go on. Maya, what is Maya? We saw the periodic table and the different types of energies. The Bhagavad Gita says that this, not Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this Maya, his energy, is of eight types, eight different types. Earth, fire, water, air. Now we know. Easy to understand. Ether is a little bit more difficult. But interestingly enough, I think I listed more than eight or something wrong there. earth, fire, water, fire is missing. Mind is repeated twice. I apologize. And then there is mind, intelligence and false ego. This is not in the periodic table either. And this mind, intelligence and false ego is a separate category, which is interesting. It's not made of water, it's not made of fire, it's not made of air or earth. The brain is made of these things in science, but the mind and the intelligence is not considered part of the brain. It is not part of the brain in the Gita's point of view. It's a different thing. Although it's matter, it's made of Maya, it actually does survive somebody's death and is responsible, these mind, intelligence and false ego, to pull the soul from one body to another and then another to another. So these are what Prabhupada calls the subtle. They are material, but they cannot be experimentally tested or measured. That's why they don't show up in the periodic table. Okay, next. You recognize who that is? Who is that? No, it's Tatastha Shakti. He's saying it there. So this is Albert Einstein, who of course you all know. But Albert Einstein's body is made of Maya, as I mentioned, earth, water, fire, air, ether and so on, mind, intelligence, false ego. But Albert Einstein himself is not that body, but he is this Tatastha Shakti category, as I was mentioning. Einstein was conscious, the body was dead, according to the Gita, but because the soul is conscious, another word for this Tatastha Shakti is the soul, Atma, or Jiva. Because the Jiva is conscious, it has the capacity to act, it has the capacity to will, it has the capacity to know, therefore it animates the body. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusion. The body cannot function without the Atma, the soul. And so who knows where Einstein is now? Einstein was the name for the body, but it wasn't the name of the soul. And we don't actually know what the soul is of Einstein is doing, where, which life form. So really, if somebody asked you, who are you? You should say, I am Tatastha Shakti. Which means that I am Krishna's energy. Remember, we belong to Krishna. The Shakti belongs to Krishna. Maya also belongs to Krishna. And our purpose is to serve Krishna, because as I mentioned, the whole purpose of the existence of the Shaktis is to serve Krishna. Even Maya is serving Krishna. So, let's go on. This Tatastha Shakti is different from the body. It has these qualities, actually it has many qualities. But three of them I listed here. Eternal. The Shakti is eternal. So the Einstein never dies. The soul of the Einstein is never dead. Never will die. Has always existed. Will always exist. Conscious. That capacity cannot be taken away from the soul. No matter whether the soul goes into a tree or into a worm, the soul remains conscious. Its capacity to exert its consciousness outward might vary depending on life form. How do we know that our consciousness is not a product of the body itself? The Bhagavatam explains that there are different states of existence, wakefulness, sleep, when you have dreams, but also very deep sleep. And when there is deep sleep, when we wake up the other day, next day, in the morning, we remember, oh, I had such deep sleep, I was not conscious of anything. In deep sleep, the body doesn't function in terms of awareness, but the soul knows that he or she existed, even in deep sleep. This is the way, logically, the scriptures argue that the capacity of consciousness is a shakti, you could say, of the jiva, of the atma, not of the body. Okay, next. The swarup shakti of Krishna is further divided into three, the labhini, the sandhini and the samvit. Some Sanskrit terminology here. Labhini is bliss, sandhini is variously translated, but for our purposes, existence. And samvit is perception or knowledge, capacity to know. So Krishna has these three potencies as part of his Swarup Shakti. In fact, Krishna is called Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He is the form that is composed of these three Shaktis. His form is composed of these three Shaktis, Ladini, Samvit and Sandhini. The mixture of Ladini and Samvit is called Bhakti. That's the Shakti, it's also a Shakti, devotion. It's a mix of Ladini and Samvit. Why? Because the Samvit portion of Bhakti allows us to perceive Krishna and his devotees. And this, and that perception brings about bliss, and the Ladini functions to give the bliss of that perception. So that's Bhakti. So on. Our body, our mind is different. I just want to emphasize this. I just have a few slides and we'll close. Our mind and our physical body is different from the real us. This is emphasized in the Gita over and over again. It is temporary. It causes us suffering. It covers our capacity to perceive Krishna, the spiritual reality. In fact, if you look in the mirror, you won't see yourself. You see dead matter, the body. Don't see it. Nobody here has seen themselves. Well, maybe not nobody, but somehow. It's possible to see ourselves, but not with the material senses. It's also possible to see Krishna, but not with our current senses. Covers our capacity to perceive, is not conscious, and is limited in space and time. I can't exist forever in this body. And this body does not just extend out. I want to go see what's in Gainesville right now, what's going on there. I can't just go there, this body. I have to actually physically travel. But Krishna, next. Krishna's form is He Himself. This is a fundamental tenet of Vaishnavism. There's no material body that Krishna inhabits. So if you have heard somewhere that Krishna has a material body, that's erroneous. Krishna and His form are non-different. He never changes that form. Eternally He stays in that form. 15 years, 9 months and a few days. That's His age, eternally. He is full of bliss, eternal, fully conscious. This is the Ladini Samvit, Sandhini. He is unlimited in space and time. There's a famous story in the Damodar Leela where, not Damodar Leela, but in one particular Leela where Krishna ate dirt and Yashoda asked to see inside his mouth. And when he opened his mouth, she saw herself inside the mouth looking into his mouth. So that is offered as evidence by the acharyas to show that Krishna's form, although it is playing the flute, is actually infinitely large and contains everything, all of spiritual and material worlds. So he is unlimited in space and time, Krishna. So these are the differences between us and Krishna. Let's go on. Now, a key point is that energies change. You know, electrostatic energy can become electromagnetic energy, or different energies can become different types. They can be converted, although not destroyed, but converted into one form or another. But the energies of Krishna cannot change like this across different types of energies. So for example, if I decide to say Tatastha Shakti, I am going to become Swarup Shakti, it's not possible. That's forbidden. That transition is forbidden. It's not allowed. Shaktis always remain distinct. The Tatastha Shakti cannot die, cannot become Maya, dead matter. So that's why it's meaningless to lament over somebody's death, because the Tatastha Shakti can never die. Only the body can stop functioning and change and transform. So Shaktis cannot transform from one to another. Swarup Shakti cannot become Tatastha Shakti either. The Ladini potency, personified or Srimati Radharani, cannot become a Jiva or an Atma. So these Shaktis remain distinct. We will eternally, we were eternally the marginal potency of Krishna, and we will remain the marginal potency of Krishna. That will never change. Okay. Also, Krishna's energies cannot become Krishna. Because if the Jiva decides to say, I am Krishna, it's not possible. Shakti cannot become Shaktiman. They are meant for the service of Krishna. That transition is also forbidden. This idea is erroneous that the purpose of spiritual practices is to become the Supreme, or merge into the Supreme and lose one's existence, or whatever ideas are out there. According to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Shakti cannot become Shaktiman. We will always be somebody's property. We will never be possessors of Shaktis or properties. Last slide, I think. So then what can we become? So this is my last slide. Right now, Mr. Tatastha, that's us, or Ms. Tatastha, or whatever our identity, Mayik identity, not real identities, you know, men and women, these are not our identities, these are just bodies, it's not who we are. We are under the control of Maya, our bodies are made of Maya, the mind is made of Maya, as I showed you, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, all this is made of Maya, Shakti, it's Krishna's potency. But, by some good fortune, we get bhakti. Remember, bhakti is ladhini and samvit, mixed together. Krishna's swarupa shakti, which is not maya, it's beyond maya. It has descended, sadhana bhakti has descended by some good fortune. We have heard about the Bhagavad Gita, or we have been asked to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All these are spiritual. They are not maya. They are not dead. Matter. They're not just sound vibrations, although they appear to be so. So if by some good fortune the jiva gets bhakti, or access to bhakti I would say, then the jiva or us has the choice to choose on a regular everyday basis. Should I choose maya or should I choose bhakti? Should I choose Krishna's maya shakti or should I choose Krishna's Swarup Shakti? Should I serve Maya or should I serve the devotees? And so if we do that regularly, then one day, at the end of our lives, or even in this life, we can become Mr. Tatastha in the spiritual world. So when the jiva leaves, having succeeded in the path of devotion, hearing and chanting, this is the path, then the jiva goes back to the spiritual world, where the jiva gets a body, which is now not made of maya, is made of ladini shakti. It gets a mind and intelligence, but not made of maya, made of ladini shakti. And then functions in that body, just like we are functioning in this body right now. But that body is eternal, because ladini is eternal, unchanging. Nothing ever dies. It's not maya. So there everything is conscious. All the ladini, sandini, samvit shaktis are conscious. The dust, if there is dust, is conscious. Stones are conscious. Chairs are conscious. There's no maya shakti. So this is the process of bhakti. This is the whole program that devotees carry out. The hope, just regularly choosing, there's always the choice. There's maya available. Do I want this or do I want that? That's up to us. We have been given this ladini potency. So choosing it and performing bhakti on a regular basis ensures that at the end of life we'll go back to the spiritual world. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that just like a son or a daughter has to remain alive, simply remain alive, and ultimately we'll get the inheritance, you know, when the parent passes away. Just have to stay alive till that point, then you'll get the inheritance. In the same way, the devotee has to stay alive in bhakti. It's tough because it's difficult to live in the material world. But staying alive in bhakti means eventually we will get our inheritance. So that's the whole program of bhakti yoga. I'll stop here. Comments, questions? Murli Gopal Prabhu, then I'll come to you. Murli Gopal Prabhu first.
Yeah, thank you very much Prabhu for such a nice presentation. I want to see if you could maybe comment a little bit more on how is it that you brought up the idea that because we remember who we are when we wake up, then that is, that is a way that we can say that, yeah, like, there's consciousness does not come from the body. I'm just thinking like, for example, when I turn off my computer, you know, that's deep sleep for the computer. But when I turn it on, like, all of my files are still there, everything's dead. So, in, like, can you comment, like,
how? Yeah, maybe I didn't explain it well enough. So, when we go into deep sleep, the scriptures say that the mind, the intelligence, and all these senses are not functional anymore. And we can experience that practically also. We don't dream, which is a function of the mind. We're not aware of anything really. In really deep sleep, we're not aware of anything, correct? If you wake up, you don't remember anything. You don't have any sense that anything happened. But you are aware that you had deep sleep. This is the point. This is from the Bhagavatam. So the idea is that because you wake up and you say, oh, it's refreshed, such nice sleep I had, dreamless sleep, this is susupti. Then, because we are aware that we have that deep sleep, that tells us that there is the capacity to be conscious of our existence is innate to us, inherent to us. It doesn't depend on our mind. It doesn't depend on our intelligence. It doesn't depend on our senses. We are conscious of the fact that we exist because that is our own shakti. It's innate to the soul. I don't need to be told, I don't need to go to school to know that I know I am. In other words, and I don't need a body to know that I am. I don't need a mind. I don't need the functions of these subtle bodies to know that I am. This is the concept that's used. This is the logic that's used to. I don't know if that's convincing, but for now.
You're saying that we have to stay alive in order to get the inheritance of eternality. Staying alive means very aspect of Krishna consciousness. It shouldn't be enough, that shouldn't be the set of motivations behind it, but it's a very good example.
That's
true.
So it's possible.
So obviously most people are motivated by something in order to work hard to achieve it. So it's also the aspiration to become eternal, go back to the tissue, go back to the spiritual world is a great motivation. What kind of mentality should we keep in that concept of I'm doing this in order to achieve something, some goal?
Yeah, so, you know, for many years I was thinking about is that, you know, I want to achieve. Naturally, it doesn't work like that, at least from my understanding. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti, being Krishna's Swarup Shakti, is not under anybody's control. And so, she self-manifests at her time of choosing. So, am I really practicing Bhakti or is Bhakti practicing me? So, bhakti is self-manifest, not under control of Maya, not under control of the Jiva, not under control of anybody except Krishna. She manifests to the Guru into the mind and senses, and it appears as if we are practicing sadhana bhakti. Actually, bhakti is independent. So, what is our role in it? Our role is to say yes. You have the opportunity to come to Mangalati. So, the question is, do we say yes or do we say no? Ultimately, we are not doers. The mind and the body is performing everything anyway. And I am moving my fingers. Am I moving my fingers? The soul has nothing to do with the body. So the fingers are moving through a material mechanism. The muscles are contracting and the heart is pumping. I am not pumping the heart. It's a body. It's a machine. It's a wonderful machine. Yantra. It's working. So the way I look at it is that that's how why it said we want to be instruments. What does it mean to be instruments? We aren't really practicing bhakti in the sense of practicing tennis or practicing, you know, soccer. It's a mystical process. What we are doing, our responsibility is to say, yes, I want this versus I want that. If you say yes to Maya, then we are conducted by Maya and her attendants, the body and intelligence, the body-mind complex. They act in a certain direction, in a certain way. Even for that, we cannot take any credit, because we depend on Krishna for manifesting our capacity to act, our capacity to think. Even the desires that we have are products of the mind. Ichha dvesha sukham dukkham sangatish chetana vritti eta kshetram samasina savikaram udaratam. Ichha, desires are born in the mind. And our thing is, should I choose this ichha or should I choose that ichha? That's what all we're doing. Just making choices. Should I do this? Should I do that? But when you say yes to bhakti, then that same mind-body complex is allowing us now to act on the path of bhakti. So in some ways, that's how I understand staying alive in bhakti. Say yes every day. And that's a tough choice. That's a tough choice. Prabhuji, and then I'll come to you.
From a Vaishnava perspective, what is Kundalini, what is Shakti, what are the chakras, and what are the yoga siddhis?
So, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras are, you know, well established, and they discuss all these things, the chakras and Kundalini, Hatha Yoga, and activating the centers. There are certain some descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam of these practices also. And also they are there in the Bhagavad Gita. Yogi Yujita Satatam Matmanam Rasistitaha Ekaki Yatachitatma Nirashira Parigraha. There's a whole list of how to perform these. Where, you know, focus on the chakra between the eyebrows and so on. Now, none of these are actually accepted as angas of bhakti. In the bhakti angas, what are the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam? There is no chakra, there is no kundalini, there is none of this in the limbs of devotional service. So the concept is that these Ashtanga yogic methods can be practiced in a mixed with bhakti. It's called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Certain people have interest in doing that Ashtanga Yoga or doing Karma Yoga or doing Jnana Yoga, and then they are allowed the facility to perform bhakti mixed with these other processes if necessary. Although the recommendation is do Uttam Bhakti. Do Bhakti Seva, do all these other things. But if not, you can do Ashtanga Yoga, but as long as you mixing bhakti with it. But the recommendation is to be pure and mixed bhakti. Does that answer your question?
Yes, somewhat.
Okay. This question here at the back.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful lecture.
Thank you.
So you mentioned in the talk that Maya was not alive, that is, not conscious. Like, you know, the water, air, fire, things are not alive, not conscious. But what about Durga Devi, or the demigod of the wind, or the demigod of the fire? Is the representative and the representation, how are they the same, how are they different? Isn't everything conscious through the representative?
So there is a difference between the Durga Maya Devi and Maya. There's a difference between Maya Devi and Maya. Maya Devi is conscious, Maya is not. Okay? It doesn't mean that because Maya Devi is the controller of Maya, so Maya is also conscious by definition. No. If that were the case, then there would be a fault in incompleteness in Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme. He has to have all potencies. Alive and non-alive. Everything. Otherwise he's incomplete. Some would point that as a fault. What do the devatas do? The devatas, the senses that we have actually are subtle. They are not physical senses that we think are our senses. You know, the eyes. These are the seats of the senses. So these are not actually the senses. The senses are subtle. And for functioning of the subtle senses, which, you know, you cannot discover. So in other words, the soul has the mind, intelligence, false ego, and the subtle senses. And all of this is sitting in this body, which has physical senses, physical brain and everything. It's far out, but this is the picture. So the functioning of the subtle senses is under the control of the devatas. They cannot function without the devatas. So, yes.
So when karma squeezed the earth really tightly during the pastime, that Mother Bhumi got offense and she cursed him that she was going to hold the shower wheel really tightly. How is it possible Mother Bhumi could feel
I didn't get the first part. Who held
Karma?
Karma.
Karma.
Mahabharata Karma? Okay.
He squeezed the earth really tightly that it offended Mother Bhumi. So if the earth, the dirt, the ground is not conscious, how is it Mother Bhumi able to
The idea, we worship the Yamuna. Now the Yamuna is just water. Why should we worship water? Water is everywhere. The rains, should I worship the water that's falling down or the water in the gutter? What's the point? So the idea is that the data that are subtle, that are beyond our capacity to grasp, are manifest in this world in a way that we can grasp for our, as a benefit for us, as mercy for us. That's why we worship this. We worship the Ganga. The idea is not that Ganga is just water. If you have been to India, the people there, they worship the Ganga. People there, what's going on? To an uninformed observer, it makes no sense at all. The idea is that Ganga is the Ganga. She is the representation of Ganga in the material world, out of her mercy to become visible to us. And so when we hear about pastimes where the Bhumi Devi is being is in distress, and these pastimes occur over and over. It's one of the reasons why Krishna also appears. So these pastimes happen in the Bhagavatam. The way to understand is that none of this is independent of a conscious entity. And these conscious entities are deputed by Krishna. They are Krishna Shaktis who are, you could say, controllers of these. And so for them, when the earth is polluted or, you know, things like that, then they become unhappy. Or there is a lot of injustice. And so to our vision, we just see the earth as dead matter, right? But there is somebody in charge who is concerned about what's happening in this world.
And the super soul is also within every atom. So isn't every atom conscious?
Is an atom conscious? Well, I was hoping this wouldn't come up. If the atom is conscious, then there is no difference between chit and achit. The scriptures make distinction between conscious and non-conscious. It is emphasized over and over again. Body is dead. Bhagavatam has many such verses. If everything is conscious, then we are not able to make a distinction. Now, Prabhupada has said that the atoms are conscious. Not because of the presence of the super soul necessarily, but the atoms are conscious. In other words, the material energy is Brahma, the spiritual energy, but in a very, very low state of consciousness. Capacity, you know, like a bacterium is not, would not look conscious to us. So even lower and lower and lower than that. And I haven't really understood that myself. To keep things straight in my brain, I like to make these distinctions, because it's also consistent in Shastra. Now what about the super soul? That the fact that the super soul is present throughout, I mean, this whole world is inside Krishna's belly. That's the Damodar Leela. Krishna is conscious. He's present everywhere. Not just a super soul. Super soul is how he's perceived by the yogis. But Krishna himself, Shyam Sundar, is everywhere. So, does that mean that matter is conscious? Is he giving, because it's one of his shaktis, you know, it's, anyway, this is a complicated topic. I don't have a clear answer for
Thank you.
I'm just telling you my preference. Yeah.
Maybe this is oversimplistic as an answer, but it really seems very simple to me. The body, we all agree that this body is not me. I am the conscious spirit in the body. The body is made of matter, cells and atoms. If someone pinches me, I feel it. The body, and what's the difference? You say the body is feeling it. I am feeling it because I'm in the body and I have this instrument of perception in the body.
But there is a distinction there. So when you get pinched, what is happening is that there is a sensation of being pinched in the mind. The soul is not being pinched. The soul cannot be pinched. The soul cannot experience pain. But because the soul misidentifies with that body, with the mind as being, the soul thinks it's the mind. This is the ahankar, false ego. As a result, it hallucinates that that pinching happened to itself. So still we have to make the distinction that the mind is not alive, the soul is, but the mind is giving impressions that the soul considers its own. So the day that this becomes, this body-mind complex dissolves away, then no pain, no suffering.
And you expand that to the buoy of karma squeezing the earth. You just expanded that. We felt it. The earth didn't feel it. And if we leave this, if we leave this body and you pinch it, no one feels anything. The matter is being pinched, but it doesn't know it's being pinched. You knew you were being pinched because you were in the body. Bhumi is in the earth.
Correct. So you could say that the Mother Earth is really attached to this earth, and so she gets distressed when something happens. But not in a negative way, and that is her service to Krishna.
Quick question.
Yes.
If you're saying that, you know, Krishna would be incomplete because the possibility of Maya not being a conscious quality, he wouldn't possess it, wouldn't it be backwards as well? Because if he didn't possess Maya as a conscious quality, then wouldn't he also be incomplete? Isn't that the concept of Vishnu-Savita-Varya Thakur? He's inconceivable?
You lost me. I didn't get that.
Okay. I'm going to put it one more time.
Yeah.
Okay. So if Krishna is incomplete by, you know, not possessing Maya as a conscious quality, doesn't it go both ways? Like, he has to possess it as a conscious and an unconscious quality for him to be complete. It has to go both ways. It can't be one or the other. If not, he wouldn't be complete. And isn't that the concept of a Shintavedavita Tava, that he's simultaneously different in the same way?
Yeah, I think that's the reason. That's fine.
Okay.
Any questions from the Matajis? Well, yes, Veera Prabhu, then we'll go to
We were talking about sticking it out in the practice of Bhakti Yoga. I had an example. Many years ago, as a young brahmachari, I was a struggling book distributor. And one day I would be very fired up and go out and distribute 250 Bhagavad Gita. The next day I couldn't even get out of the truck. It was very difficult for me to surrender to the service. So I went to our Rupanuga Prabhu, who was our GBC temple president at that time. And I said, why is it like this? Why am I feel like I'm one of those graphs with going up and down, one day fired up, one day in Maya, one day Krishna conscious, one day not. He said, okay. He said, you may be like this graph. He said, but if you just stay in the association of devotees, you may not see it, but I see it. If you just stay, the graph, it's up and down, but the overall trend will go up in Krishna consciousness. You'll make more advancement. So other question I had is, can you elaborate a little bit about the difference, because you're talking about the jiva always being tathashta, but can you talk about the nitya baddha as opposed to the nitya siddha?
So the nitya baddha, nitya siddha, the word nitya siddha can refer to the swarup shakti of Krishna, Yashoda for example, is not a jiva or as a tathasta shakti. Devakyam Devarupinyam, Devaki for example, he is Krishna Swarup Shakti. So there are some individuals who are eternally Krishna's parents. There are some individuals who are eternally in certain roles. Radharani is eternally Radharani, never changes. Radharani cannot come to this material world. So Swarup Shakti is different from Tatastha Shakti in that sense. Now, the Tatastha Shakti can serve, you know, Radharani or Radharani's associates, can serve the Swarup Shakti. So those Tatastha Shaktis that have continued eternally to stay in the spiritual world are called Nitya Siddhas. And also sometimes Krishna's direct associates are also called nitya siddhas. So that demarcation is not always explicit in the scriptures, so you have to be aware of that.
Mm.
Now, the nitya baddhas, nitya word means perpetual or eternal. Those that are eternally bound in the material world, they, when they go back to the spiritual world, remain tatastha shaktis, but they get spiritual bodies, they get bodies made of ladini shakti, and they get the ladini potency and the samvit potency, which functions as their mind and intelligence to give them direct perception of Krishna. So right now the reason we can't see Krishna is because we only have maya to allow us to perceive. The jiva, the soul, doesn't have an independent, has the capacity to perceive, but me is dependent on Krishna's energy to be able to perceive anything. That's why we are dependent. We are not independent like Krishna. So we need a body to do it. So we also will get a body. We'll continue to be tatastha shakti, but now we are nitya siddha. We are eternally going to stay in the spiritual world. We will not come back to the material world. Yad vatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. By definition, my abode is that going where one never returns. This is Krishna's assurance.
Nitya siddha Krishna parma
sadhya karuna shravana shuddha chitti karaya udaya. Yes.
So Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta, by hearing and chanting.
By hearing and chanting, we'll get Krishna Prema.
The heart becomes cleansed. Shuddha Chitta.
Madhumati Mataji, you have a question.
You mentioned earlier that Bhakti Devi is consists of Madhuri and Pandit. I was just wondering why not Sandhini.
So the Sandhini potency, and I don't know why, it's just how Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Asamrita Sindhu, but my understanding is that the function of Sandhini potency is to manifest aspects of Krishna's form, for example, or Krishna's chairs, bedding, clothes, these are made as a Sandhini Shakti. The Vaikuntha abode, the roads there, the sky, all this is Sandhini Shakti. They are manifested from the Sandhini Shakti. And this is really Lord Sankarsana's function. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in great depth. Somewhere in the Madhyalila, 28th chapter or something like that. So that's the function of Sandhini Shakti. Whereas in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains that at the stage of Bhava, after we have gone through these different stages, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, all the way when we get to Bhava, then this mixture of Labini in some way descends from the hearts of the devotees actually. It's quite all mystical, I don't understand any of this, I'm just telling you what I've read. It descends from the hearts of the devotees and then the mind dissolves away. This is from the Bhagavatam, Jarayati, the mind is dissolved, the material mind, right, bhakti. And in its place is taken by these shaktis. And so the subtle senses, you don't see any external change in a bhava bhakta, in the body, right? I always wondered, you know, Prabhupada was saying, not with these senses, but you can see him, premanjana shurita bhakti, oh, what does that mean? You know, my eyes are changing somehow. No, it's what happens is that the subtle senses, which we can't see, are now made of a different quality, of a different shakti altogether. And so is the mind and the intelligence. So as a result, the devotee is able to perceive Krishna with those senses. More? Anything else? Okay, the Kaya Gopi Manandeya.